Discord. Our main speaker tonight is Calvin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Calvin, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Hi, back. Wow. This is the best thing going for drunks is AA meeting. Can't get any better than this. You can't get this at home. At home, you're just a drunk. This is the best thing going for us. And I want to thank the group, and I want to thank the committee, and I want to thank my buddy Niall, seemed like I know him for years. He was such a great, good communication with. But you need to know I was a drunk. You need to know I was a drunk. I did not come in here sober. I'm only sober by the grace of God and the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. What stand here before you is a transformation. What I used to be like and what I'm like now is only by His grace. And you need to know I was a drunk and wow. My heroes of drinking was Doc Holliday, you know. And I love the way Doc Holliday drank. You know, if he gets mad at you, he'll shoot you and go back drinking. And if he regurgitates, he goes back drinking. I never saw him, waste a drink. And then my second hero was Nick Charles. I loved his wife. You know, his wife served him drinks 2:30 in the morning. Never interfered with his drinking. Cops asked Nick, can you solve a case? And Nick said, we'll talk it over some brandy. And I said, wow, I got to get a wife like that. And I watched this on $1 Million Movie. This is where my brain is at, delusion. And in my drinking career, no one asked me to solve a case. I have been kicked out of a lot of gambling places, and I never found Nick Charles' wife, you know. And I've been searching for her. And then in my delusion mind, I love Lisbeth Montgomery, Samantha. When she twinkled her little nose, I know my whole life will be over, you know. And I searched for her. The only time I ran into a woman when she twinkled her nose when she was putting something in it. I just had bad luck looking for ladies. I just had bad luck. And I was an arrogant drunk, so I didn't like drinking with crybaby drunks. Drunks that keep umbrellas and sticks and whining. You know, it should be a law against anybody sitting there and let the ice melt and while they talking. I couldn't stand them. You know, and the crybaby drunks, I had the crybaby drunks in my car, and they start crying, and I say, shut up, no crying in my car, be a real man. You go home and tell your wife you're the man of the house, and tell your supervisor you've come in when you feel like coming in, but absolutely no crying. I'm not telling them I got a call before I come home. I have to knock on the door, I have to call. I don't know if I'm sleeping in the kids' room or the bed or the floor, but I'm always telling drunks what to do. And I always have to, I had a skill. You have to have a skill. And I had a gift for gabs. That's the skill. If you stutter, you're a bad liar. You got to lie real good. And I will tell drunks I've been where you have not been before. I tore my fort in Korea. I was born in 1951, and I was a lookout man on Pork Chop Hill. I also been in the Bay of Pigs in the third grade waiting for the Kennedy family so we go to Cuba. And I also been in the Civil Rights Movement, crossing Selma to go to crossing Selma Bridge. And I was always in the front line when they sicked the dog on me. I threw my knife out and they say, man, this is a nonviolent demonstration. And these drunks love this story. Why are they loving this? I'm just drinking their drinks and stuff. I always had the drunk stories. And my drinking career, my drinking had built a wall of isolation. I didn't trust people. If you say hi to me, that was good. But once you say, how you doing, that's a lot of information. And I don't go to the store 8 o'clock in the morning like drunks go. I go 5 after 9. 5 after 9 says I'm not a drunk like them. So I walk the kids to school. I get the newspaper, find out what's going on, not with the current event, to see that Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson had a fight. And I'm waiting for 5 after 9 to go into the liquor store. When I get to the liquor store, with no social talking, I put up 2 fingers. That mean a fifth. One means a pint. We had a down pack. It was no, hey, Joe, how are you and the family? I get the nod, go into the refrigerator, and walked out. It was power and prestige. You know, it was power and prestige. So one morning, 5 after 9, Joe introduced me to a new owner and letting them know that my credit was good. So one morning, I walked in. He said, Calvin, may I have a word with you? I'd like to talk to you back here. I said, oh, God, I hope he's not asking me to work here, you know. And he says, I noticed you drink this wine early in the morning. You seem like a nice guy. I said, oh, that's it. If I wanted counseling, I get it from my wife. No more would I do business with him anymore. Anytime anybody approached me about the drinking, got to go. You know, they have a protocol. They want to offer you gum. You know it's coming. They want to say, do you have the time? And you know it's coming. As soon as it comes, it's sacred grounds. It's sacred ground. And I curse them out. I make them feel so bad. I talk about their mama, their whole family, that you'll never talk to me again about my drinking. And this went on. And I hurt people's feelings, had no idea, but it was always about me. And drinking became a lonely business. It became a lonely business. About 1975 or 76, a great country like this, we had to get gas on odd and even day. That pissed me off. I was upset about that, you know. A great country like this, just to get gas anytime we want to. And I was really upset with that. That made me so depressed, and I wasn't even driving, but stuff like that would just drive me crazy, you know, stuff like that. And that's how my drinking went on. I'm always in other people's stuff, and I didn't want anybody to get close to me. I used to go to, that's why I say you need to know I was drunk. I know today you can die in here without the drink. You could be drunk in here without the drink. Untreated alcoholism is not a joke. That's why we're here today. And I thank the group for keeping the doors open and reading the 10 steps, the 12 traditions. They didn't read it. But just to hear the hope in when they was reading the steps. And that's how that transformation is. And in my drinking career, going back, when I say being drunk without the drink, I remember my last drunk don't keep me sober. It was in 1984, 4 o'clock in the morning. The missus got up with me early. I was going to work, and she asked me a tribute question. I didn't drink in 3 days. And I said, I want to. I was broke. And she says, well, do you remember the promise you made to me in 1973? Are you kidding? And we start having these Sugar Ray Hearns fight, and I told her what I was going to do to her as soon as I get off the floor. But right now I have to go to work, but we'll handle this business when I come back. And an hour later, I'm in the emergency room. I'm talking tongues and all that kind of crazy stuff. And then they start asking personal questions. How much you drink a day? And I say, I drink one can of Budweiser a day. That's all you need to know. They knew I was lying as soon as I opened my mouth. And I say, look, doc, if you could just let me out. I say, I'm having a little allergy here right now, you know, and I could handle this problem. But meantime, I'm having these little slight DTs. Like it felt like I was tripping. I could see 10 hands going by and stuff like that. And I say, I'm talking slightly in tongues. So get on the phone with the missus, and I'm telling her how I need her to come down so I could leave. And she remind me, she say, Calvin, you just told me you don't need me no more, blah, blah. I said, forget that. Let's come down here and get me out of here. So when she got to the emergency rooms, they got into a football huddle where I'm sitting on the gurney bed, and every time they turned around, they look at me, and they get back in their huddle. I say, oh, my God, they're talking about my drinking. I say, I got to get out of this. Then they start using words like I never heard before. Detox, sound like some laundry detergent. I don't know what's this about here, you know. And she's home packing my suitcase. She's happy, go lucky. You know, she's crazy about this stuff. And I'm, wait a minute. If I'm going down, everybody else going down. I say, the nun drink, your father drink, so-and-so drink, and blah, blah, blah. She says, shut up, Calvin, shut up. She said, they're going to start you off with a big glass of whiskey. They're going to cut you down every day. I got quiet. I'm on my way to Freeport Hospital waiting for them to come and pick me up. And I got my Nick Charles pajamas on, blue on pot of blue slippers and stuff like that. I walked out the room. I saw people fishing with no pole on dry land, knitting with no needles and stuff, getting pills and needles. I'm looking for the line where they're serving the booze. So I go to the desk, and I tap on the desk and say, madam, can you possibly tell me which line are they serving the booze? She looked at me, and you had your last drink when you got here. I ran off to the phone, cursed the wife out. You tricked me. She said, shut up, Calvin, shut up. You could do this one day at a time. And then come from AA, come from her way of living. I didn't want to hear that crap, and I went back to the desk, and I demand to be released. As you see, I'm not like these people here. And she said, if you leave, you get no check. I reconsider and I stay. But you'll find my story in chapter 3 more about alcoholism. The reservation had to be smashed. And I walked around here 9 months, dry drunk, untreated alcoholism. People go in the park and feed pigeons. I go in the park and chase pigeons out. People ask me what time it is, and I say, buy a watch, you so-and-so, you know. People ask me for a dog, get a job, you know. Restless, irritable, and discontent. The wife asks me, say, Calvin, let's go to the movies. Nope, I'm not going to the movie. I'm not drinking. Say, let's walk on the boardwalk. I say, you're crazy. I'm not drinking. And here's a lady who used to cry and say, Calvin, why are you drinking so much? I was so miserable. She'd say, drink, you so-and-so. Drink, you so miserable. And that's with my arrogance. No, not today. I'm not drinking. And that's what I meant about the untreated alcoholism. I was miserable without the drink. I know one morning, one afternoon, the wife asked me, she said, well, let's go to your mother's house. And I found it strange. It wasn't no holiday. She wanted to go to my mother's house. So they over there, you know, I'm watching the game, drinking some gin and stuff. And I walked in the room. I could feel the tension in the room. And they had the discussion. There was a discussion about me. My ex-wife telling my mother, this is your son, you take him. And my mother say, this is you, you marry him, you take him. I say, well, somebody got to get it together and take it because I'm not going nowhere till y'all solve this thing. I had no idea the effect that I had on people's life. And then in my drinking career, I'm always getting into, I go to uninvited parties. I get into uninvited conversations. And people leave drinks down. They say, yo, that's my drink. And I say, it was, you know, and stuff like that. And they start to talking, and I'm talking, whatever they're talking, they're giving signs like, who is this guy? Who's this guy here, you know? And then I got on their nerves so bad, they put me in a cab and sent me home. And I came right back. I told the cabbie, turn back, and I get back. When I get back to the place, everybody turn around and look at me. So I told myself, Calvin, don't say a word. Don't say a word. You know, when I come back, everybody will look at me, and I try to be, you know, I try to monitor myself. And another one in my drinking career, repass. I don't care if they're black or white or Spanish. I'm going to whoever passed because they have free booze and free food. And I invited myself. I find out who died, read the obituary, go behind the funeral parlor, and find out where they're serving the free booze. And then when I get to the house, I start drinking their drink, and then I pass out. And then they wake me up and they say, who you came here with? You know. And in my neighborhood wasn't named like Calvin, John, and Philip. In my neighborhood, there was Bishop, Raheem, Nut. And they said, we got no names like this. And they asked me to leave. So when I was leaving, they slammed the door. When they slammed the door, it didn't say, Calvin, you have a problem with alcohol. It says, watch your drinking. Watch your drinking. So about this happened quite often. And then I have a fetish for ladies that have black stockings and pretty feet. I didn't know this was a widow. You know, I winked my eyes at her, and I did my little swagger over to her, and I sit down to her, and I say, who is your man, you know? And about 5 minutes later, they asked me to leave. And again, when that door slammed, it says, Calvin, watch your drinking. Then say, stop your drinking. That same voice can exist today with the untreated alcoholism. The same voice can tell you, don't pray. Don't do your inventory. Don't talk to another alcoholic if the untreated alcoholism does arrive and still living today. And I say that because that's my testimony. That's my testimony. So in my drinking career, to end it up, you know, when I walked around here, that when I say about the 9 months dry drunk and restless, irritable, and discontent, and then like people, then get into comments, you know, I just shut down on people. Well, when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, y'all knew more of me than I knew about myself. You know, and they asked for no background check or nothing like that. They just told me, keep coming. And I started hearing these different slogans everybody was saying. One person would come in and say he's holy duty. Another one say he's an addict. Another say he's an alcoholic. I said, oh, my God, I need a title myself. You know, everybody walking around here with a title. So I came and I made up a title. I said, my name is Calvin. I'm a holy duty, cross-addictive, grateful, recovering alcoholic from Howard University of California. Eventually drank right-handed, would drink leave, drank left-handed. And everybody turned around at the meeting and said, keep coming, you know. And so the man to be my sponsor asked me to repeat that in the kitchen, you know, in that 5-minute coffee break, 5-minute coffee break, and I repeated. He said, I never heard any crap like that in AA all my life. He said, what we'll do a 90-90. I was so fragile to say no, but once this man told me his story, I knew if he can get sober, because I thank God that he was sober, the story that he was telling me, and I said, wow, if he can get it, so can I. So can I. He never talked down to me, never put his finger in my face. So I was very active in my room. I was very, very active. I was an active alcoholic in my room, doing service. And I didn't wait to be elected to do service. You pick up more than 2 chairs, you're doing service in the room of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, giving back what's freely given to you. I was the best secretary that I ever had, you know. I stayed in rotation for five rotations. I stayed there. And then the same group that voted me in, the same group that voted my behind out, because soon the meeting started, I said, listen, I don't want to be the secretary anymore, so y'all going to have to find somebody else. They're supposed to go with old business first, but the first business was to get me out the seat, you know, and I had a resentment with that. But when I mentioned about being active in your group and helping other alcoholics, don't wait to be elected to do service in the rooms of alcoholics, and it's a powerful program for living, not about dying. So like I said, I was active, and in my fifth year, my old friends came back, restless, irritable, and discontent. I started sponsoring myself, so my sponsor died. I'm taking my group inventory. I'm sitting in the back, checking everybody out. God, sounded like he wrote the book with Bill and Bob, getting on my nerve, you know. Another person sounding like they wrote the Hallmark greeting card book, you know, and I say, oh, my God, you know, the sky will be blue tomorrow and all that stuff. And then a newcomer walking around with her cleavage, walking up and down. And I say, she walked by me one more time. I'm going to throw my shoes at her. Sit down. This ain't no fashion show, you know. Then a newcomer, you know, with the meeting book to put a contact on. I say, my phone don't work. And I went home to commit suicide. It wasn't about picking up a drink. I didn't want to live the untreated alcoholism. Sponsoring myself. Wasn't praying to God. Wasn't surrendering to God. I was surrendering to Calvin principles. And Calvin principles says, let's get out of here. I got a 12-step call to pick up a drunk. I'm angry at my home group. Where they at? I'm busy trying to commit suicide, and I got to stop this and go and pick up a wet drunk. And then when I picked up that wet drunk and I looked in his eyes, I saw my life in his eyes. I saw that power that we have today, the gift that we have, one drunk talking to another drunk. And here we are 81 years later. That's the gift that we have, one drunk talking to another drunk. We're not lucky people. Luck is for casino. We are blessed people to live two life at one time. So when I looked that drunk in the eyes and I was telling him, I'm only sober by the grace of God and the power of Alcoholics Anonymous, that helped me with steps 6 and 7. Every day is a present step where I'm asking God to remove me from me because I'm my worst enemy. When you hear a drunk say, it's dangerous in the rooms of AA, when you hear a drunk say, he's been thinking. Anytime you hear a drunk say, he's been thinking, just move your chair to the side, you know. Just move it to the side. I used to tell my sponsor, say, Joe, you know, I've been thinking. He said, oh, God, Calvin, not that again. Please, we reflect, we look at, we ponder, but we don't think. You know, and I had great ideas, and I would sit with him, and I would say, Joe, you know, I've been thinking, and blah, 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 and he said, don't drink, go to meetings. And I told him one day, I said, Joe, I'm tired of you telling me don't drink and go to meetings. And he said, well, let's talk it again. When I finish discussing my little problem, he'll say, don't drink and go to meetings. So I had 90 days. I said, I'm going to get him now. I had 90 days, and I'm going to resign from Alcoholics Anonymous. I had that 90-day stomach. I had a jet black afro, you know. And I say, Joe, I want to thank you and the community. I think you're doing a fine job here. But as you can see, I'm not drinking. I must move on with my life. I have other issues that need to be addressed. And he looked at me and he said, don't drink and go to meetings. When he walked away, I had no idea. I just described alcoholism. I stayed long enough to understand the meaning and the effectiveness of untreated alcoholism. And that's why we're here today. That's what we're doing here. Each day that God gives us to wake up sober, because we could wake up drunk without a drink, is a gift from God. But our responsibility is to pass this message on to another drunk. Not just from here, but sitting down to the next drunk that comes in. We are responsible because you never know. You're someday in tradition too, your family may come through that door. We're responsible to give them the same message that was given to us. I don't want to sound like here's some Hallmark greeting card, but this is the best thing that's going for drunks is at AA meeting. This is where the rubber meets the road right here in the rooms of AA. And I'm so glad to be a part. Just a little guy in a big pond like this, what we have in here today. We must continue to keep this going. Our life depends on this. This is not a social gathering. We're not here because we're good people and stuff. Matt, just put it in. I'm sober today. I didn't drink. And that's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the miracle. We are the miracle room. So our responsibility to keep this precious gift is to pass it on. And our fifth tradition and our primary purpose is to carry, not to get diverted from anything else, is to carry this message out to the alcohol, not just to newcomers, but people like me that may have a tough day. I need to hear the same repetitious message when I first come in. I want to hear anything new. I want to hear the same message that's been given passed on to me. I mean, one day, and then in closing, I had a good drunk on. Beautiful drunk. I love this drunk that I had on. I was navigating from one eye to another, bouncing from park, car to car, pole to pole. And I take a shortcut and walk right through the park, and these little no-neck kids was playing double dutch. And they was, you know, they laughing and carrying on. And they turned around, they screamed and said, "Ah, look at that drunk." And I'm turning around, where? In a neighborhood like this. And they was talking about me. And once they pointed that finger to me, my whole life came down. I said, I became the community drunk. I became the town drunk. They don't know if I had two kids in school. They don't know that the position that I had at work. All they saw, the town drunk, and that's what I became. And that's a delusion, that delusion that I live in. People just leave me alone. When people approach me about my drinking, when I say leave me alone, in other words, I'm telling them, let me die. That's what I'm telling them. Let me die. When people approach me about my drinking, every time I give them that mean face, but underneath I'm just saying, please leave me alone, because that was the only thing working. Today, what's working for me is the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm 3 years in my retirement, and economic insecurity came in. One of my pensions, bankruptcy, and I wasn't sharing it, wasn't talking with anyone. I became the community volunteering, neighborhood watching people where they park their car. The wife is sleeping, snoring. I'm nudging her in the back, like, wake up, and I'm looking at the bills. And she said, "Can we give it to God?" I said, "That's not what this bill says. Say, due day, no. Turn it over to God," and stuff like that, you know. And until I shared with another alcoholic that God been caring, you know, been looking out for me all the time. It was a fear that had to been removed. Living in the fear caused me restless, irritable, and discontent, going to bed with it, waking up with it. When I turned it over to God, I never got behind my mortgage payment, never got behind any of my bills, because I'm in God's care. Brings it back to God's care. In the seventh step, and it says we go out here and do his bidding. I love that. It's not Calvin's bidding, to do his bidding. I'll be able to help another alcoholic without them even knowing it. On page 77, it says that we do maximum service to serve God and others. That's why we're here. This is why we have to keep this precious gift. You can't give nothing that you don't have. You can't wing it in here. You'll wing yourself right out the ruins of Alcoholics Anonymous. Please stay. Please stay and pass this on. For those that's counting days and months and coming back, stay. We know how to get sober, but stay. Because when that shoe drop, we have to have some foundation to go on. Not 10-10 win. Now no palm readers, already laid out 164 pages in the big book. That's the only book that's for drunks. We're not here to save the world. Tradition 6 to tell you. It's here for the drunks. That's all we're here for. You want to save the world? Stay sober and pass this message on. That's how simple this thing is. I thank God for all of us, that he'll keep us in the palm of his hands, because it's the best thing going for drunks is Alcoholics Anonymous. We should cherish this. It's still new and it's still fragile. 81 years, it's still, don't let nobody come in here carrying some other books and want to read this. This is the only thing that's working for us. I've seen many people die sober. And I've seen them on their deathbed, and they still would say they want to do service in Alcoholics. There's a lot of heroes here in Alcoholics Anonymous. We drink no matter what. If my wife leave me today, I don't drink. But if she comes back, I still can't drink. That's how AA mess up their way of living. It messes your drinking because you can never drink safely again. You can never safely. I throw these little logos out to you because it's real. It's nothing that you make up in here. It comes from the heart. It's come from sharing my experience of staying sober. When I be invited to do service, I just do it because I don't boast about it, don't brag about it, because it's God's gift. And I know someday that if I'm not available, you know, God is finished with me. That's it. But today I don't ask God to kill me. Today I ask God to let me live. Thank you for letting me wake up sober. Thank you for letting me be an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous, the best thing that's going. And please, I'm not here to press you, but when I say this is the best thing, you have to look at where we're from and where we're at today. This is the only answer that we have. When you stop branching off, going here, going there, you get diverted from why we're here. We must stay here. We must stay here and carry on. Be an active member in your group. Don't be a thief in Alcoholics Anonymous. Give back what was freely given to us. Give back what was freely. Like I said, when you pick up more than one chair, you're doing service in the room with Alcoholics Anonymous. Always be kind. Don't talk down to another drunk, because that drunk you talk down to can be your sponsor someday. That's how it comes. That's how it will turn out. You know, so always be kind to another alcoholics and always give the message. What I'm talking about, I need AA more today than when I came in 1985. This is the best thing that's going for us. And I'm trying to close it up. I'm trying to be disciplined with my time. But when I mentioned about the untreated alcoholism, it's still live and kicking. But in step 10, it tells us immediately go to God at once. Don't try to solve it and everything like this. When these things crop up, I don't have to try to read this book and read that book. I go directly to God and I'm asking him to remove these uncomfortable ability. Page 86 is our daily reprieve. They're already laid out for us. I don't have to read nothing. That menu is for us, you know, in the morning, indecision, at retiring at night. We got work to do. We got work to do. We got enough work here to do to help another alcoholics. Relax, get still, and pass it on. You know, when I'm agitated. You know, even today when I talk about my thinking, my wife today, when when I say, oh, honey, you know, I've been thinking, she said, oh, please come and call your sponsor, you know. I want to close it with my sponsor, Tree Line. My sponsor, Tree Line, is Liz Bailey, 64 years, and her sponsor, Ken, is my great-grand sponsor, with 62. And then there was Gene H, 5, 6, 7, and 2, and he died with 35 years. And today, Rodney P is my sponsor. That line still goes on. We're still passing on the AA message. So, I thank you for your patience and time with me. And I want to thank the group for allowing me to come and share my experience and my living testimony, how AA saved my bacon. My name is Calvin, and I am an alcoholic.